The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself and he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has gotten him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, and yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him?" Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come home, child. Come home, child. I find it so hard to even try to identify with parents who have lost their children. When you go to Walmart, there's a place you go right maybe close to where you pay, and there's usually a place there where you can see pictures of those who have been missing, the children who have been missing since 2008, 2017. Their pictures are always there. I don't know the pain that is in their parents thinking, "Where is my child?" And so perhaps if you ask them, They will tell you, I'd rather give my arm and my leg, but have my child come home. Today's gospel is a story of a wayward son. No one likes being called a wayward son or daughter. And Jesus' capacity to tell a story couldn't possibly be underestimated. It hit me like a moving truck because I never saw it coming. I'm sure some of you will feel the same way too. When Jesus was talking about the prodigal son, I was only focused on this prodigal son, the one who demanded his inheritance and took the money and went abroad to dance and enjoy himself and until the money was finished. You know, kind of Las Vegas, and I can say that because I'm a foreigner. You know, got $200,000 all gone in like 3 months and hitchhike back to Memphis. But he had fun, and that's for sure. And for a moment, I was thinking, we know the culprit here. He's the prodigal son, of course. And then I never saw it coming. The prodigal son was not the only guilty part here to break the father's heart. The other son who remained at home or who refused to respond to the father's invitation, you know, pouting and, you know, complaining and also demanding his rights, just like his younger brother did before he left. And Jesus was referring to the proud Pharisees who obviously saw themselves as innocent and righteous and dutiful in the house of the Father and claiming prominence. And here they are pouting and grumbling. And the Greek word that was used, I don't know if I could even pronounce it correctly, it translates to grumbling. Have you ever done that? Grumbling inside you, you know, like complaining and protesting in your heart, just like this dutiful son did in the story, because he refused to celebrate with the father to welcome a lost brother. This is when I understood. This parable is the parable of two wayward sons, and we fit in either one of these two characters. Now, most parents really wish and dream to have children who are dutiful, kind, obedient, and you know, charming, you know? Who doesn't like charming children, right? But reality is that some will not turn out to be dutiful. And isn't that the truth with God's human family? We all have different characters. So, for example, for the sake of this sermon, I would say, those on my right, you can be the proud Pharisees, no offense. And for these on my left, you can be the tax collectors or those who have been in conniving with the Roman authorities, you know. So the Jews don't like you because you sort of like treated as a traitors. So they called you simply sinners. And Jesus got in trouble because they were saying he's sitting with them because... Why would you? And so, but Jesus, being God, he's looking at them as, you are all my children, and you all share the same sinful nature. Whether you think you are at home and you got everything well and nice and, you know, everything, you just, okay. But these ones, they know they haven't got it right, and they're trying to survive most of their times, and they are called sinners. But God is merciful to all who call upon him, whether from this group or from this group. And this is how we fit into these two characters. Have you ever heard yourself pray like this? Father, give me what I want. I deserve it. It's my right. And the Father kindly looks into our souls and says, you really want this? Okay, I will let you have it. So what is our motivation? We want to have fun, we want to feel important and valued, and we want to experience all the pleasures of this world. But think about it. Couldn't he have enjoyed all this even in the Father's house? Why did he have to ask for all the money that was going to be his anyway, and to go into distant country to have all that fun. Why didn't he just decide to stay home and have all that fun in the father's house? Maybe the real issue is that we don't like the discipline and order of the father's house. We want it our way, just like the Memphian sang, "I did it my way." And the younger son got his inheritance. And this is how I imagine him screaming out, "Freedom!" And then later on he came back and with a broken spirit, begging back as a slave with no rights. And remember, in beginning he said, "It's my right, it's my right." And now he's coming back, I understand, I have no rights at this point. And his problem is ours as well, when we fail to trust God. And God is like a kind father. When we insist to go our own way, he lets us. And we go on a long, winding journey, and, you know, we learn the hard way, and, you know, thorns, and we fall down, and, you know, and then when we come back and we are limping, and then we are left in a wanting state. You know, like, no matter how much we acquire, it's not enough. And even if they give you all the goods and the wealth of this world, you are not satisfied. Come to think of it, living in perpetual dissatisfaction is like living in hell. But in God, there is deep satisfaction. There is gratitude. There is appreciation. And Psalm 23 educates us and tells us, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." And that's why Christ is the bread from heaven that nourishes us into eternal life. And only he can fill that void in us. So, like us, identifying with the eldest son, number one, who remained at home, we find ourselves less patient and less compassionate, and less understanding for those who still live in sin, and for those who think their freedom is in the world of pleasures, or for those who got it all wrong while we got it right. Well, I got it all wrong many times. Why can't I be so patient and understanding for those who still got it wrong? So we break God's heart when we don't rejoice with him, when one of those I just told you about repent and come home. So we also need to come home to the Father. Well, I may not know that I'm in a state of being lost and dead, but now he's telling me, you are. You need to come home to the Father as well. Consider it an honor and a privilege. And recognize that once you were also a wayward son and a wayward daughter. Though we deserve the worst for our offenses, we are instead forgiven and free in Christ. And Jesus often said, "Be healed and go on and sin no more." The tyranny of sin and death has no hold on you anymore. So, come home. Come home to the Father, the kind that comes and sees you struggling, and he wants to come right close to you, and he makes all the steps necessary to get to you. That kind of Father. Be joyful in his house and come to the Father to receive his grace and peace. Amen.